This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Divvy Podcast. For Monday, March 24th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Tom Rogers talks with a University of Illinois expert on water supply and how we could be in a crisis in 20 to 30 years. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois doctors say access to health care will become more limited unless the state does more to cover the cost of treating poor patients. Sean Crawford has that story.
Illinois' political leaders have made it a priority in recent years to expand access to state-subsidized health coverage. But physicians say Medicaid reimbursement rates have remained about the same level for a decade, meaning while they take on a heavier patient load, they're losing money for treating them. Rodney Osborne is president of the Illinois State Medical Society.
The sad fact is that Illinois physicians face very difficult choices due to inadequate Medicaid reimbursements.
Osborne told state lawmakers at a recent hearing those choices could include refusing to accept Medicaid patients. He says many have already gone that route. Osborne says Illinois ranks near the bottom of all states when it comes to reimbursing doctors. Along with the amount of money they're getting, doctors are also upset about Illinois' payment cycle that's stretching several months. That means a physician submitting a bill to the state right now might not be paid until well into the summer or later. I'm Sean Crawford.
Steve Carter says he won't seek a third term as Indiana's attorney general. The 54-year-old Carter says he's enjoyed his two terms in office, but wants to look at work in the private sector and the not-for-profit sector. He said Sunday he has not interviewed for other jobs or decided what he would like to do next, however. Carter, a Lafayette native who grew up in Lake County, is known for enforcing the state's do-not-call law. He was reelected in 2004 with 1.4 million votes, the most ever for a candidate in state government. Six protesters interrupted Cardinal Francis George's Easter homily during Mass yesterday morning at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago. The protesters stood and yelled their opposition to the war in Iraq to a packed auditorium. The three males and three females squirted fake blood on themselves and parishioners as they were removed from Mass by security guards and ushers. They're charged with one count each of felony criminal damage to property and two counts each of misdemeanor simple battery. George said after the Mass that everyone should all work for peace, but not by interrupting the worship of God. Representatives of those arrested said they chose Holy Name Cathedral because of its large Easter audience and the local press that usually covers the service. As thousands of cable customers in East Central Illinois receive new contracts from Comcast, a University of Illinois law professor says the cable giant has an interesting provision hidden in fine print. Robert Lawless says Comcast lets people sign a waiver to opt out of arbitration. That means if you sign, you would be able to take Comcast to court if there's ever a dispute. If you do nothing, your only option to resolve a dispute would be through an arbitration firm. Wallace says the problem with that is Comcast chooses the firm.
Studies suggest that the companies tend to win in these arbitration forums at very, very high rates. And there's also the fact that in arbitration, there generally can't be a class action. Class action allows one consumer to sue on behalf of many others, and then the proceeds of the lawsuit are split among everyone.
Wallace says few people would want to pursue a court case over a dispute over $100 or so. That tilts the advantage further toward the company. He says it's common for large companies to funnel dissatisfied customers through arbitration to avoid court. There's another hitch to the opt-out option. Comcast customers only have 30 days to sign it from the date they receive the new contract. Three banks recently said goodbye to the federal student loan program. One had a substantial Illinois portfolio. Shauna Lee reports the change could affect college students' bottom line.
TCF Bank has hooked up Illinois students with government-backed loans for more than a decade, but it's leaving because the government won't subsidize the program as much as it had in the past. This worries industry people like Andrew Davis. He runs Illinois' Student Assistance Commission, a state agency and lender. Davis says less competition could raise student loan interest rates.
You go to your financial aid office and there's only one lender there, they're less likely to aggressively court your business, and they're more likely to tell you what the deal is going to be as opposed to trying to win you over by offering a slightly better deal.
Davis says Illinois students should find enough private money to borrow this year. That is, if banks stay in the market. He recommends students apply for aid soon to secure what they need. I'm Sean Ali.
The mayor of an Illinois river town threatened by flooding says a levee near his town is held and the danger is over. Randy Ellett is mayor of Grand Tower in southwestern Illinois. That's about 80 miles southeast of St. Louis. His town of about 75 people is on the Mississippi River and a couple of miles from the Big Muddy River. The mayor says whenever the Mississippi gets high, it's in danger of pushing back into the Big Muddy. Illinois Emergency Management Agency spokeswoman Patty Thompson says the worst is over for most other places in Illinois, too. She says rivers either aren't cresting as high as previously predicted or are receding. New data shows that the state of Illinois saw its export rate grow by nearly 16% in 2007 to $48.73 billion. Statistics from the World Institute for Strategic Economic Research find that Illinois is the fifth largest exporting state in the country, behind Texas, California, New York, and Washington. The top countries that Illinois sells goods to include Canada, Mexico, Germany, and Australia. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Experts predict that in the next 20 to 30 years, a growing United States will need 30 to 60% more water. Growth will be even more explosive in other parts of the world, and the need for clean, usable water may someday be a staggering political issue. AM 580's Tom Rogers spoke with a University of Illinois expert watching that potential crisis unfold.
In a new review in the science journal Nature, Professor Mark Shannon outlines the need for cheap ways to purify massive amounts of water and how technology is trying to catch up to that need. He says contamination is another issue that technology is going to have to address, and not just from the industrial pollutants that we think of at first.
Saltwater is definitely a major issue, particularly if you're along the coastlines where you're pumping water out of aquifers. It begins to intrude into the aquifer and make it salty. In fact, where I grew up, I grew up on well water, and where my parents purchased their place back in the 1950s. And they've had to drop their well deeper and deeper, and they now have a reverse osmosis unit underneath their sink because their water is so salty. And that's in the Bay Area.
So, okay, that's out in California, but here in Illinois, we always think we've got an ample water supply. We're in the Great Lakes region. We've got these huge, deep aquifers. Why should people in Illinois be concerned about these trends?
Well, interestingly, most people think, oh, the problems are in the West, the problems are in the Southwest. Well, in Illinois, we have some of the most critical problems facing the entire nation, and it's particularly around the Great Lakes in the collar counties of Chicago, where the aquifers are being pumped, and these are what we call alluvial or glacial aquifers, and they are fossil water. They were left when the glaciers receded, and these are not terribly replenishable. They replenish very slowly, and they're pumping them out so deep that as you get deeper and deeper, you go into salt water, which is underneath all the fresh water. And so communities like around the Chicago area, as well as communities in San Antonio, communities in all along the Gulf Coast, et cetera, are finding that their water is getting saltier.
You don't think of that when you're thousands of miles away from a coast.
That's absolutely right. There's salt water that underlies the entire continent. And in fact, there's more salt water in underlying the United States than there is fresh water. And so the amount of salt water that is there is amazing. It's different salt water than seawater, but it's hard salts like you get when you run your sink a lot and you see these white compounds that come around it.
So what do we do? What is being done now, and how is it lacking as far as, you know, those trends of population and saltier water and pollution and all that?
Well, these trends are like all converging on each other. And what this means is that there will be less and less water available for us. And to clean it up, we have to start treating it. We have to spend a lot more money.
He says newer purification methods aim to reduce energy and chemical use while treating large amounts of water. But Shannon says the real trick is to perfect what he calls point source purification methods, treatment that can take place in the home, even under the sink, and can be done cheaply.
Coming up with methods that don't use excess energy or extra energy added from outside, maybe the sun or some normal types of energy, or the energy that's in water itself, the energy that's in what we call gray or black water. There's a fair amount of energy there, using that energy and not using additional chemicals. So there's that could help a huge number of the population. And so there's all sorts of methods that we're developing to do that, from biological methods that use biology to new nanotype technologies that could really change the face of water.
As at the risk of making it a highly scientific discussion, just explain in layman's terms what nanotechnology can do in this particular case, what it is and how you relate it to water purification.
Well, as once it was said to me once, is water is dirt cheap. That's why we use dirt to clean it. And, you know, if we think about it, sand and earth and clays are used to clean it. Well, clays have lots of, you know, we think of it as just clay, but they have lots of little tiny particles on top of the clay that can absorb species or toxins or can disinfect from pathogens. They can trap things and disinfect it. So really, it's these tiny little billionth of a meter, you know, thousand times smaller than to a million times smaller than a hair. But these are just like little particles that you can place on it. And if we can do it in an intelligent way or find materials that have these properties, such as in mines that are being mined for diamonds in Africa, there's millions, hundreds of millions of different types of these chemicals that are in, that are naturally. And if we can find them and use them, then they can change everything.
Mark Shannon heads the University of Illinois' Center for Advanced Materials for the Purification of Water with Systems. It's a name that's as big as its mission, and he hopes more people will recognize the urgency of the situation. You can hear the entire interview at will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, partly sunny skies today with a high around 45 degrees, mostly cloudy this evening, the low around 35. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, there's a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 55, breezy with southwest winds up to 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy Tuesday night with a low around 35, partly sunny Wednesday, the high around 52, mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, a chance of rain, the low around 38 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.